Well, hey friends, welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in today's video, I'm gonna teach really quickly on how to be holy. Why to be holy? What's holiness all about? What is it not about? And how to step into and live out a life in the beauty of God's holiness. Watch out, it's probably not what you think it is. Let me do a few quick updates as well. If you're new to my ministry, my name is Graham. I'm a British American and living here in New England, ministering here. If you're on my YouTube channel, please do consider hitting the subscribe button there. Give this a bell symbol, a press, thumbs up, all of those good things. Secondly, if you haven't yet subscribed to our email newsletter, really encourage you to do that. We send a free gift to everybody who does that, link below. Thirdly, if you're not yet a Christian, No, seriously, if you'd like a conversation, nearly every day now I'm setting up Zoom calls and phone calls with people who aren't Christians, and I want to talk to people about their souls. And if you have questions, if you have sort of stumbling blocks, objections to Christianity, love to talk to you about that. And number four, a big thanks to the partners of Graham Jones Ministries. We love and appreciate you guys. Bless you. And fifthly, I have lots of new things on my ministry school, including an in-person monthly mentoring class, courses, lots of different things going on there. This weekend, I'm going to be in Sturbridge, Massachusetts in the morning, NEF Church in Norwalk, Connecticut in the afternoon. Next week, I have a service on the Friday. I'll be doing the Merge service in Goffstown, New Hampshire. So really looking forward to doing that. Be in New England next weekend, then flying to France on July the 17th. So a few updates there. Come on, let's talk about holiness. The Bible says in Leviticus several times, and it's quoted all throughout the Bible. It's in 1 Peter 1, I believe verse 16. The Bible says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And it's interesting, at times in the journey of the church, if you look at church history, it's like holiness was often the greatest thing people were pursuing. It was often the number one goal of the church, or the thing that people would be talking a lot about. And it doesn't seem at the moment to be high on a lot of people's radars. And yet I really believe it is. The Bible says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And I think there is something incredible. I think we were created for the holiness of God. You know, anytime we talk about any of the attributes of God, you know, His love, His glory, His presence, His holiness, words fail, and at times these things overlap and underlock, but God is completely other. He's other. He's set apart. The angels fly around His throne, you know, morning, noon, and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is Him who was and is to come. Holy is the Lord." And I believe there's something glorious. We were created to be in that glory, in that holiness of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah gets taken up to the throne room of God. He says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on a throne. The train of His robe fills the temple. The angels cried, 'Holy, holy, holy.'" And Isaiah, I'm British, comes into this context, and his first thing is, "Whoa." Not like, "Whoa," but, "Woe is me, because I am not holy. I'm a people of uncleanness. I dwell in the people with unclean." It's interesting he said unclean lips. And of course, the Lord, if you will, gives him this pass, cleanses his lips, takes a coal from the altar. But how many of you know coals can't take away our sins? It's interesting, in the book of Revelation, John comes into the same throne room, the same scene, but John is right at home. John sings the song of those who've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And we were created for the holiness of God. We were created to live within the holiness of God. And what I want to do in a few moments today, I mean, in a sense, it seems facile to talk about, how can we talk about how to be holy in 10 minutes? And yet it's really that simple. It's interesting, in the UK where I am from, there was a great revivalist called John Wesley. And Wesley really loved God. Wesley had a passion really for two things. He had a passion for evangelism, for souls. You could really say three things. Wesley actually had a passion for discipleship. he would give people a method. He'd put people in homes and little small groups and give them a method to follow. Why? That was why they were called the Methodists, those who literally followed a formula or a method. Don't ever despise anybody who says, well, here's a method to follow, here's five steps to getting healed. It's really important we can take truth and break it down to the level that people can understand. But Wesley also had this passion for the holiness of God. He really did. And yet, I think Wesley misunderstood how to get there. Wesley would teach what at the time they called a second work of the Spirit. They at the time would teach that the baptism of the Spirit was a second work of grace. You become born again, first work. And then afterwards, there was a subsequent second experience, a baptism in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God would come and, as it were, the fire of God would burn all of the sin out of your life. Now, the problem is, nobody really had this experience. Wesley would actually admit at the end of his life, he said, I believe in this experience, but I've never had it. And in a way, Wesley would teach that you had to tarry, you had to wait on God for an experience that would come and zunk, burn all of the sin out of you. And the problem is, people would not get in this experience, and they'd often be condemned by their own sin. You know, it's amazing, even a few years later, you see people like Hudson Taylor serving God in a mighty way, and yet bound and condemned and wrapped up in their own sense of sin and sinfulness and failings. And in the 19th century, a movement came up within the Methodists, a really important movement called the Shorter Way. And there were people like E.D. Palmer, A.J. Gordon, William Boardman, people like this. And these people began to teach, well, hang on a minute, rather than sit around for 20 years and wait for an experience that makes us holy, what if Jesus made us holy on the cross? What if Jesus did it all on the cross? And rather, we need simply to come to his word, and by faith, we receive that standing of holiness, yeah? And that we take it simply because God said it in his word. And suddenly people began taking this, as it were, like reaching out and receiving that experience of holiness, of freedom from sin. They weren't denying their experience. They were denying the authority of their experience. They weren't denying the faults and failings they might have had. They were actually saying that the way we get out of those faults and failings is not by trying to be holy, that's dead works, or waiting for an experience, but rather believing what God has said. That there was a shorter way than spending years. And suddenly a movement, which many people don't know the roots of this movement, the faith movement was born. People suddenly realized you receive holiness by faith. And then people like George Muller in the UK, a German, began realizing, well, if I can trust God and his word alone for an experience of holiness, maybe I can trust God when he says, my God shall supply all of your needs. Muller began believing to supply thousands of orphans with food. People like Hudson Taylor came along and said, well, if we can believe God's word for holiness and then God's word for the supply of our needs, maybe I can take missionaries to the far corners of the world, to China, with no support other than Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs. And he began doing that. And then Hudson Taylor, probably even a greater miracle, you know, he was living by faith in the word of God for God's supply, but he never could break the chains of sin in his life, never break that sense of shame. And somebody sent him one letter from the Keswick movement, really important movement in the Lake District in the UK, that transformed his life. And they said to him, in a way, Hudson Taylor, you've been believing that when God says shall, my God shall supply all your needs, he said, God shall there that you proved is the same shall when God says, he that believes in me shall never thirst again. You know, out of that same Methodist movement, in a way, the faith movement for holiness, came the movement for healing, where people like Andrew Murray, A.J. Gordon, people like that, the Wigglesworth began believing, hey, we can believe he is the Lord our healer, not by a feeling or an experience, but simply based on the promises of God. So I want you to catch this today. Your identity in the New kingdom, in the old kingdom, if you will, your identity follows your performance. If you can be a holy person, if you can act a certain way and not act in bad ways, you can be described as holy. In the Old Testament, God says, be holy, for I am holy. In the New Covenant, the Lord says, be holy, for I am holy. In the same way, when Jesus said to the leper, be clean, be cleansed, he wasn't saying, go and cleanse yourself. He was literally saying, catch. He's saying, my words, poof. Yeah. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them, make them holy by your word. Yeah, by your truth, your word is truth, John 17:17. And we're sanctified by the word of God. Having these promises, let us sanctify ourselves. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but by these we become partakers of God's nature and we escape the corruption in the world through lust. Ephesians 5, I can go on and on, but this one, guys. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might wash it and sanctify the church with the washing of water by the word. So you can step into holiness today. In the new covenant, you receive your identity as a gift by faith in God's word. And then your performance, your vécu, your experience, your lived out life follows that performance. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. So my friends, today you can live out the righteousness of God. You are holy. Say that to yourself, not because you feel it, look it, smell it, taste it, but because God says it. It is written. Stand on that and you'll begin to live that out. Hey, if you're interested, I'll be speaking about this in greater length for a few hours in my churches in New England, praying for people that revelation would be imparted to them. We're going to do a bunch of ministry. So why not join us this weekend in our New England churches? Check out my website, gjm.org, for greater details. And I hope to see you soon in the plan of God.